Last week, we started a new series called Thy Will Be Done. And as I said last week, this is a series that God has orchestrated, that God has put together through many conversations and many times of just prayer and fasting. There's interesting things that I have to think about when before we start this morning. I had to ask myself, is it God's will or is it my will that we would do a series about His will? You know, I mean, you have to think about that. And what you have to understand, and first and foremost, is the amount of prayer and the amount of fasting and the amount of scripture and study that goes into every Sunday morning. The gravity of the responsibility is not lost on me. I spend a lot of time in prayer and in fasting and in scripture reading and in studying about how to communicate the message that God has put before us. So last week I communicated very clearly that the only way you will hear God's will is through His word. Right, very good. Now after some great conversation with many of you and especially my wife, it has become apparent that I need to clarify kind of what that means and why I said what I said last week. Now for all of you, you need to know that right away, God's will does get communicated in many different ways. God can choose any way to communicate His will. And He doesn't typically just use one way. In fact, it's usually through multiple ways that God's communicating His will that you will line up and see exactly what that means for you. So the interesting thing is, think about Balaam, right? He used Balaam's donkey to communicate His will. And if you think about that going a step further, He uses a donkey every Sunday morning to communicate His will to you, right? I mean, you know. But although He uses multiple ways to communicate His will, it will never, ever be in contradiction to His word. Okay, I want you to hear me say that. So the reason I can say with confidence that God's will can only be heard in His word is because whatever form of communication God is using to communicate His will, what you have to hold it up into the light of the scripture to make sure that that's exactly what He is saying, because they will never be in contradiction of each other. So I want you to hear me say this. If you're hearing a message that you believe is God's will and it contradicts what you're hearing in His word, I want to be clear on this. It's not His will. I want you to write this down. So if you're taking notes, however you're doing that this morning, I want you to write this down. God's word will never contradict God's will. Okay, that's just a good reminder. That's a good thing just to kind of note. And, you know, maybe you write that in the margin of your Bible. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, that's going to be our primary scripture for the series. And then I'm going to utilize a bunch of scripture this morning. We're going to do a little scripture kung fu. So God has the ability to use and to get our attention in multiple ways. In fact, God uses, at the time, our 5.5-year-old daughter to communicate to us that we were in transition and that we were going to move and that it was going to be okay. And there was multiple times that my daughter Peyton does this, you know, where she just starts communicating what she feels God's put on her heart. And I won't even tell you what she's been saying recently. Sometimes it scares us. You know, it's funny because she just starts, you know, communicating these things, and Kaylee and I look at each other like, what in the world is going on? But scripture clearly says from the mouth of babes, right? It's the little children, it's the faith like a child that will teach us. So there's three key areas. Now, these are not limited to, but there are three key areas that God uses to communicate His will. And the first one is the influence of others. Key area number one is the influence of others. Now, this is godly counsel. This is the people that you do life with on a regular basis that are unified with you in your desire to serve God. I'm gonna communicate a message to you this morning that I hope you hear my heart on this. It's going to be really hard to hear God's will if you're communicating to a person that doesn't understand, like you, who God is. It's going to be tough. Because when you're unified with somebody through godly counsel, friendship, family, those types of things, they have your best interest in mind, but also they themselves are communicating with God to hear from Him, maybe in a way to communicate to you. So it does help to have godly people and godly counsel and friends and family around you that can help process these types of things. The second way is through life situations. Now I'm going to stop here for a bit. How many times in your life have you experienced something and said, God must be trying to tell me something, right? How many of you experienced that, right? Well, God must. Now, how many times have you said that when things are going really well? When things are going really well, typically the first thought in our mind isn't, wow, God must be trying to tell me something. Now, the reverse of that, you all know it's coming. How many times have things gone terribly wrong and things in life are not going well and things are really confusing? And what is the first thought that pops into our head? Wow, God must be trying to tell me something. I want us to understand something this morning. God wants to tell you something every minute of your day, all the time. He doesn't want to just use the good times, and He certainly doesn't want to just use the bad times to communicate His will to you. I think that's important for us to hear this morning. It reminds me of an experience on an American Airlines flight I had a few years ago. We were flying back into Chicago, and we actually caught a really good tailwind, and we got in about 10 minutes early. I know, shocking, right? So the airline pilot comes on as we're taxiing to the gate, and he says, folks, if you do me a favor, if you could look down at your watches, I want you to notice that we're getting into the gate about 10 minutes ahead of schedule. The reason I want you to look at your watches, folks, is because I want you to remember this moment, because you're for sure going to remind us the next time we show up 10 minutes late. But doesn't that communicate sometimes how we treat God? We forget sometimes to look at our watch and realize that He showed up 10 minutes early, but we definitely remind Him every time we feel like He shows up 10 minutes late. See, God's will is communicated in many different ways, and He has a desire for us to connect into what that looks like. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God desires for us to experience hurt and pain? Now, let me say that question again. Do you believe that God desires for us to experience hurt and pain? Can I say in faith that God loves me more because currently I don't have cancer? Is that not one of the most ridiculous things? Well, as I say that out loud and it hits your ears, you start thinking to yourself, well, that's ridiculous. But is it not sometimes at the core of how we feel? Because somebody else is healthy, God must bless them more. God must love them more. And if somebody has cancer or is sick or something is happening, oh, I wonder what happened. Does God love them less? Does He desire for us to experience hurt and pain? No, He doesn't desire that for us. I want you to listen. Things happen in this life because life happens. Things happen in this life because life happens. God doesn't just wait for us to acknowledge Him, and then all of a sudden He's up there kind of sitting on His throne like, now I've got them right where I want them. They've acknowledged me, so now I get to pull the rug out from underneath of them. I don't know about you. I have no desire to serve a God like that. And that's not the God that we serve. He doesn't desire for us to acknowledge Him and then all of a sudden He just yanks the carpet out from underneath of us. But here's, some people ask the question, well then why? I want you to hear me say this. All bets were off when we fell in the garden. All bets were off when we fell in the garden. When Adam and Eve chose to defy God and to go their own way, all bets were off. Immediately in that moment, things became extremely more difficult in order for us to have a relationship with God in that moment. And even then, did God choose for Adam and Eve to eat the apple? No. They did. They chose. But did God throw His hands up in the air and say, well, forget about it. They're never going to trust me. They're never going to follow me. So I'm just going to, let's forget about this thing. Did God do that? No. He met them where they were in their decision. And ultimately it led to an incredible sacrifice on a cross for you and for me. He took their situation, he took their circumstances, he took their choices, and he did something amazing with them. Something that we could never write on our own. That's what God does in the midst of our circumstances. And the thing is that we have to realize is that when we look at the story of the Israelites, he constantly laid out a plan for them. We'll call his plan his will, or their plan his will. Now, there were times that they listened. The Israelites at times, you know, they did. They listened. But more often than not, they didn't listen. He laid out this incredible plan. He laid out this incredible will for them. And they constantly chose to go their own direction. All the time. And when they were going their own direction, let's kind of call that free will. Again, God did not choose for them not to listen, but he used their poor choices as an opportunity to communicate his desire to them. Now, I want you to hear me say this because I don't want you to get confused here. I'm not saying that our bad choices are the only things that lead to these terrible things or circumstances. It's not, you know, our bad choices that do this. But I will tell you that things happen because life happens. And it's in those moments that God wants to take that moment and he wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to desire him. That's really his ultimate desire, is to be in these moments of life. And instead of blaming God and saying, God, it's all your fault, he wants to be able to say, lean on me, cry out to me. I'm here for you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. I will care for you in this moment. I know it doesn't make sense, but he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Think of it this way. Nobody in this room has chosen nor would ever choose to get cancer. But God doesn't choose that for you either. Instead, if or when terrible things, like I just said, happen, that's an incredible opportunity to cry out. It's an incredible opportunity to lean on him. For some of you this morning, your relationship is based on blame. But I want you to hear the words that David spoke as he cried out to God in Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me. My God, strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. For the Lord comes deliverance. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. David spoke to God in that moment out of desperation. And he so desired for God to show up in a mighty way, recognizing that the Lord in those moments is his shield around him. 1 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed or persecuted, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. These things happen in life, but we serve a God who doesn't allow us to be crushed by them. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. When I read that, you know what I first think? Easy for you to say, right? Anybody else do that? Can we have any honest people in the room this morning? All right, come on, preach, right? Everybody else, I guess, is just lying to themselves. I mean, think about that. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, it's like, what? Here's the thing. I believe that in order to understand the Lord's will, you first have to understand who the Lord is. The third part of the way that key parts that he sometimes chooses to show us his will is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put an incredible amount of importance in being led by the Spirit. Not just himself being led by the Spirit, but us being led by the Spirit. Remember his words in John 16, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And so these three key areas, influence of others, life situations, leading of the Holy Spirit, they will all be in unison with God's word found in Scripture. Maybe not all together, or maybe it might be one, might be all three. It might be things that are not included in that list, of course. But no matter what it is, it will always be in unison with God's word. That will never be in contradiction. You know, preaching on God's will it's not easy. It really is not easy. It's like trying to explain string theory, you know? Now, I know for some of you in here, explaining string theory might be pretty easy. We're talking about me, though, standing up here. I'm not so good at talking about string theory. I mean, when I first heard of it, I thought, you know, maybe this is like a crocheting technique, you know, and string theory. This string's nice, you know, I don't know. Well, do me a favor, go to Romans chapter 12. I want you to feel like you got your money's worth this morning. And I want us to read this together. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. And so I would like for us all to read out loud together as we read these words. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Today we focus on the first part of Paul's plea. And look at the way he starts this message. Look at the way he starts this new part of his letter. He says, "I urge you." You know, in some translations it says, "I beseech ye, thee," or "you." He says, "I urge you," because it's a big deal. He wants you to listen to these words. He doesn't start off saying, "Dear reader, it's been 2 days or 2 weeks since we've been at camp and things are going real swell." He doesn't say that. He starts this letter with urgency. He wants us to hear this desperation. Please hear this desperation. And the point that we zoom in this morning for us and the homework for this week, yes, I am handing out homework. If Dr. Herb can do it, I can do it, right? Maybe a little bit different. But the part that we're going to focus on this morning is offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, because he is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. A living sacrifice. It kind of sounds messy, doesn't it? A living sacrifice. Because what type of sacrifices are you used to reading about? Dead ones, right? I mean, think about it. Most sacrifices that we're familiar with, they're all surrounding around probably, you know, dead animals. But here we're talking about a living sacrifice. And it's interesting that the reason it sounds messy is because it is messy. To live a life of a living sacrifice is not easy. Scripture never points to the fact that it will be easy. But Scripture points to the fact that in the moments when life is hard, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is always there. So before we look at this, I want you to think about this question. So what does it mean to offer your body as a living sacrifice? What does that mean? What does that look like? But before we answer that, why isn't Paul alluding to the fact that of another dead sacrifice or another sacrifice of any other kind other than a living one? Why is he not alluding to that? Well, the truth is, it's because Jesus was the final sacrifice, once and for all. He died once for all. And that's it. It's over. So there's no more need for dead animals, dead goats, dead doves, dead rams, dead lambs. They don't please God anymore. Because the ultimate sacrifice in his son was paid on the cross. And so now Paul is moving from this understanding of a living sacrifice for us. So we have to ask ourselves that question again. What is a living sacrifice? It's you. It's your body. It's your whole life. It's your existence. It's everything that you do. It's everything that you proclaim. It's everything that you say. It's every day. That's the living sacrifice. One commentator wrote that God is not primarily interested in our time, talents, and or treasure. The only gift which satisfies the Redeemer Creator is the body of his redeemed creation. That's what he's most concerned about. It's not to say that he's not concerned about these things, but he is concerned about our time, talents, and treasures, but not at the cost of the ultimate sacrifice, which is you, your whole life, everything that you do. Sometimes I love the Message translation. Sometimes. But I want you to listen to this verse. You can read it up on the screens. This is Romans 12:1 from the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That helps encapsulate a lot of things, doesn't it? When we talk about wanting to know his will, it comes at understanding the fact of his way. Here's my message in a nutshell. If you want to know, if you want to follow, if you want to live in God's will, if that's something that you want, then take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. If you want to know, follow, and live in God's will, you have to live in his ways. That's the key. If you want to know and to follow God's will, you have to live in his ways. I want you to circle the promise when you get a chance in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God's will is revealed to us every day as long as we're walking in his ways. And his ways are spelled out for us pretty clearly. It's your everyday life. It's who you are. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. I think this gives us incredible freedom because it helps us to understand that no matter what you do, if you're doing it for the Lord and you're reaching for him and you're aspiring to love him more and you want him to lead you more, guess what? You're not going to have to question whether or not you're in the center of his will because you're in the center of his ways. If you're in the center of his ways, it'll be so much easier and he'll continue to instruct you on how to follow his will. Am I preaching? I mean, why? I don't know. Do I need to like go back? I mean, this is good news for us this morning. Scripture is clear that whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I want you to think about this. Could it be that whatever I do in the name of the Lord could be his will? Yes. Yes. Let's not get that out of whack, though, because you have to ask yourself the really challenging question. Is this because of me or is this because of God? You have to ask that. But if your heart is so bent towards him and you're living your life fully for him and you're desiring for him to do more in your life, then if you're doing that and you're giving him everything and you're saying, Lord, whatever I do, whether in word or deed, I'm going to do it all for your glory. Could that be God's will? Absolutely. Every time, take it to the bank. Amen. Because that's how he communicates his will to us, by living in his ways. Does God want me to take this job or that job? Go to this school or that school? Adopt nationally or internationally? Marry this person or not? All right, you caught that. Because almost this person or that person. That might be awkward. Does God want me to... Anyway. But think about that. Does he want me to take this job or that job? Go to this school or that school? Do I marry this person? Yes or no? What if God is concerned about which one? Instead, he's concerned about whether or not you will live for him, no matter the decision you make. Because ultimately, you make the decision. You make the decision. God honors us with the ability of free will and says, you get to make the decision. I just want you to honor me in it. I want you to love me through it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. I've had many people in my life ask me incredibly tough questions about their future. It's almost like they think I've got this like special tapped resource, you know, to God because I'm a pastor. And people are like, you know, should I sell my business? I don't know. I don't know anything about your business. Unless God shows up at my front door with a big sign, tell him to sell his business. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And people ask me all the time, you know, man, I've got these options, Steve, and I just don't know which one to take. What do you think God's will is? And people are floored sometimes with my response. Because many times I say, you know what? I don't think you can get this wrong. See, we've constantly kept thinking, we keep thinking to ourselves that there is only one way that God will bless us. There's only one avenue to receive his blessing. There's only one right choice if you're honoring God in whatever you do, whether in word or deed. He can lay out multiple paths in front of you. And guess what? If you're honoring him, no matter if you take the job in Boston or you take the job in San Francisco, if you're honoring him and he knows your heart and he knows that you're living for him, he will bless you in that. It doesn't say that if you take the job in Boston, now all of a sudden the entire universe is thrown out of whack. Thank you. You didn't go to San Francisco. Now my daughter doesn't go to college. That's what we think, isn't it? God, if I don't marry the right one, right? Holy smokes, if you don't marry the right one, then that means the person that was supposed to marry the person that you did marry now all of a sudden married the wrong one. And then if they married the wrong one, then their person isn't taken anymore, is now taken. So now they're not going to get together. So none of us have happily marriages because somebody along the way chose the wrong person. You know? It's like, should I teach third grade or should I teach fifth grade? I don't think God cares. I think what he cares about is, when you teach, will you do it to the glory and honor of me? It's about knowing his will. It's not some futuristic thing. It's about living in his ways now to understand his will for the future. It's not some type of, you know, like, I always love it. People come and they say, Pastor, tell me, what should I do? And I'm like, hold on a second. Let me get my little genie hat on, you know? Well, I mean, you can't, it's not like that. It's not like that. What if God is more concerned about why you show up to work instead of where you show up to work? What if God is more concerned about who you become at the school that you do choose, or the friends that you choose at the school that you choose, instead of where you actually go to school? What if he's more concerned about that? We spend so much time trying to learn the concealed parts of his will, but all God wants is for us to live out the revealed parts of his ways. Let me say that again. We spend so much time trying to learn the concealed part of his will, But all God wants is for us to live out the revealed parts of his ways. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Think about that. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." If you want to know God's will, you better start loving him more. Because he'll communicate to you very clearly what his will is as you communicate your love to him. And it's not conditional. Because you've heard me say this before, whether or not you choose to love God, you don't get to choose whether or not he loves you. But if we want to continue to live in his will and his way, then we have to be able to recognize the fact that we are called to live in his revealed ways. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It's one of the three top most memorized and quoted scriptures in all of the world. But we leave out 1 through 4. This is Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands." Where does it say to keep his commands? "In your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This is a promise. Now, this is only just, we're only in like the second week. This is really kind of like the first real major week of this series. And we're going to be tackling some things in this series that, to be honest with you, I'm nervous about. But the truth is, we have to remember that if we want to live in God's will, we need to live and be willing to live in his ways. So as we end this morning, we're going to sing a song to confirm maybe in our hearts how we feel about this, okay? So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to sing and worship with us this morning as we end our service, really proclaiming that we're going to trust in what God has for us.
Open wide from the depths, from the heights, I will.
Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hey, are you happy you came to church this morning? Did you hear a word from the Lord this morning? That's my hope. My hope is that you heard a word from the Lord this morning, that he wants to communicate a great message of love and of hope to you, that no matter where you are in this moment, when you live your life for him, he will do incredible things no matter your circumstances. No matter your circumstances, he can do incredible things. So our homework this week is to do exactly like Darren said, to say every day, "It'll be my joy, Lord, to honor you. It'll be my joy to say, your will, your way." That's our homework. Can we do that this week? Amen? Hey, listen, today's family stuff. Today we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo. That's exciting. We're excited about that. I want to invite all of you to come to the gym and to celebrate with us. And it's a great way for you to get to meet new people and for us to meet you as well. And we've got plenty of food, plenty of space. So join us. And let me bless you before we go. Okay? You can't leave without the blessing, right? Come on. So And Trinity family, if you would say this with me, let's continue to make this our prayer. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.